Are you a thought leader or just a lousy thought follower? Join Johnny and Big Hungry in The Big Far Out, supported by the Freemasons Foundation.
All right, Neil Lindsay.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. I just had a really bad exam, but here we are.
What do you mean bad?
It was terrible. It was mistakes, everywhere, spelling mistakes. It wasn't me that was bad. It was the...
It was the
exam. I probably did bad as well, but we're here.
Oh, that was really throw you off. You get a spelling mistake in an exam.
It did, because they had to stop us like halfway, and they're like, hey, guys, we have a mistake.
Oh, man.
And there's no... Oh.
What was the content of the exam?
Stats.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Why are you saying that as well?
I know. I study psychology, right? And they're like, yeah, you just do a psychology paper, but it's just stats.
Far out.
Yeah. I can't do it. It's a bit of a mess.
Now, we're doing this feature on behalf of the Freemasons Foundation, who are giving out academic grants to students who are truly exceptional. So you're being modest when you say that you did badly in the exam. We're sure you probably aced it. We're sort of showcasing or highlighting the people that are doing work or study with the help of the Freemasons. Well, it'd be great to get just a bit of background on you and the courses that you're studying. I know that you're doing geography and psychology.
I am.
But I guess perhaps if you told us a bit about your background and why you picked those up and why you're studying them and your field of interest.
Yeah. I mean, geography and psychology, I'm one of those people who have always sort of come into their fields very accidentally, say. Like, I started university doing music, and then I chickened out of that. And I was like, I'll be a psychologist. And then I realized I'm not that much of a fan of talking to people, which is, you know, kind of ironic considering you study psychology. And then I figured, hey, there's, you know, I could do a double major, I could do geography. And geography's pretty good. But then geography and psychology, obviously, you know, there's not really much of a link between the two. So I went, man, I could just try find a link. So I ended up sort of thinking about, you know, how is well-being and sort of negative mental health implicated in stuff like the city or the built environment? And I thought, you know, what are some of the main reasons behind that? And it came into sort of isolation stuff to do with that. So my sort of research proposal that I put to the Freemasons basically was stuff to do with isolation in urban environments and cities, stuff like that.
Despite social media and all the wonderful benefits it's supposed to be bringing us, it somewhat seems to be almost more isolating.
Does
that come into the study at all?
I think it has to be. I mean, you can see, I mean, even when I bus here in the mornings and, you know, not a single person is talking, even if it's their friends. I mean, I go out and hang with my friends and I'll speak to them for like 5 minutes and then, oh, it's back to the phone.
Alone together.
Alone, exactly, which is not inherently bad, but I mean, it can be a bit.
Are you looking at design of urban environments?
It's a bit of everything. I mean, obviously, I haven't started anything. I'm still an undergrad, so I'm just sort of chucking some planning stuff out there. But I think design elements are definitely a thing. Mm-hmm. It's policy's definitely a thing.
When you say policy, like government?
Government policy, yeah. I know.
Right.
Local government, central government.
How does policy impact this?
Well, I think it can sort of determine how the built environment looks, which comes into the design feature. But also stuff to do with like mixed density. You know, you could have social mixing of like poor people and rich people. That's definitely an impact. And parks and stuff, that improves well-being.
Is like the mixed planning, is that still a key thing in the modern Auckland city?
I think to some people, yes, but I'm not sure if it's really sort of come into practice as such.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are trying to get it happening, but there's a lot of trying to change any sort of planning proposals is very difficult. Mm-hmm.
Is it especially hard when it's kind of not a tangible thing? Like, I guess there are results down the road, but like mental health isn't a thing you can immediately see.
It's
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's so hard when you say, you know,
how important is it?
Yeah, exactly.
People don't see the importance, but obviously we have high suicide rates and stuff like that. So all these things attribute to this.
Exactly. It's hard to say because you don't know if people people are reporting it higher. That could be certainly an aspect of people are experiencing it worse. It's really hard to quantify. I think that's part of the issue that people are coming into, is that we don't really have this reliable indicator of measuring how it is.
Tricky.
Is there a key area that you're looking at with your study, or is it still quite broad at the moment?
It's very broad. I mean, I haven't actually started anything since I'm still undergrad.
Mm.
But it'll probably end up somewhere in the sort of planning sphere, or perhaps the geography sphere. I haven't really looked into it, depending on where my postgraduate or work adventure ends up.
Mm. What's the most fascinating area of it to you?
Oh, I like the design elements of it. I mean, I'm not much of an arty kind of person, but I think it has a much bigger factor into how it would be.
Do you think that design will... I mean, obviously, design has the potential to help, but do you think, given the modern phenomenon of people being on their phones the whole time, will it make significant difference?
In that aspect, probably no. I think that's probably something to do with behavior that needs to change. And obviously, you basically can't change that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's more of a responding to how things happen more than trying to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not going to get rid of phones anytime soon. We're not going to change people being able to look at their phones, mm-hmm. or being like, you know, going out with friends just using their phones, because that's just how life is nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I think I had, like, on the weekend, you know, I spent like 2 hours, forgot my phone, and I was just like, what do I do with myself? What do I do with my hands? Like, I'm not using my phone.
Surely, though, like, some design encourages people to connect with one another.
Of course, yeah.
Are there any places that you see that are just like, man, they've got, like, social interaction pretty well?
Oh, man. God, Europe's pretty good at it, eh?
Yeah.
That's
cool. Cool architecture, everything.
So what else, what other things are interesting in the fields of psychology that you've been studying recently?
Oh, man, I did an essay on octopus tool use the other day, which is weirdly, it doesn't sound very psychology, but it is. And I was just like, wow, okay, this is such a random thing to write an essay on, but... Hopefully the marks came out all right.
Wait, when you, like, octopuses using tools?
They use tools,
right,
yeah.
Right, right.
By using tools, it's literally just putting two coconut shells together. That's apparently considered tool use, but they are one of the few animals that do that.
They're the most alien thing.
They are, because they're, like, related to clams and stuff. Yeah. And you're like, well, okay, how has this animal become so interesting?
What were the most fascinating parts of that research, or, you know, that work?
Oh, man, I couldn't point to, like, a single part. I think it was just the way that they sort of, because they carry it, what they do is they sort of stand on, like, two of their tentacle things, and they walk around holding the coconut shell, just tiptoeing on these two legs. It's the weirdest thing to see. There's videos of it being done, and it's just, oh man, it's so weird. I love animals. They're so dorky.
What cracks me up is, like, when a human traditionally will draw an alien, it's just a human with really big eyes.
Yeah.
Look at a fucking octopus, man. That shit is totally cooked. Eh? It's like. what have you got, like, a process in mind as to how, what study you'll get into? Like, how do you? Do you, like, is this like a kind of eat, pray, love situation where you got to go on a little excursion to figure out what you really want to tuck into?
I think it has to be part of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Honestly, it's going to be sort of going through a big research process, figuring out if I can get a scholarship to go anywhere, mm-hmm. what courses work for the time frame, and, you know, are actually well-rated and have good lecturers. And it's the same thing about choosing where to go to uni.
Is it like a... Like, the bigger the problem, the more into it you wanting to, like, figure it out? Or is the need important for, you know what I mean? Like,
I think there is an aspect to it. I kind of want to stick more broad, but I think if you start out broad, you eventually are going to get more specific. So I think that's sort of the aim. Yeah.
Cool.
With developing policy for urban design, do you need any sort of background in the actual, you know, like when I say design, I mean like the architectural side of it.
Yeah, you'll probably have a little bit. I mean, urban design is partly architectural, but a part of it is sort of inherently sort of geographic. There are programs that do, there's like urban design programs, which they combine the two, basically. So that'll probably be an avenue as such.
With the cities in the world that are doing it particularly well, what are the key things that they are demonstrating or implementing for successful urban environments?
Oh, it's a lot of green space, a lot of parks, good public transport links. That's always a good one. Getting people out of the cars, that's another good one as well. Yeah. Unfortunately, there's nothing, you know, there's no quick and easy fix to everything because it's partly behavioral, but...
And it's got obviously the marriage between form and function, right?
Exactly.
A lot of people got to work in these environments as well.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. Like every day, I drive my car, and it's just me in the car. And I know I could ride my bicycle in here, which is it's half an hour.
Yeah.
It's a half an hour bike ride, and all I need to do is have a shower at the university gym. Granted, I might get a bit wet some days, but it's just it's a no brainer that I should be using my bicycle.
Yeah, but it is hard. It's hard to bike here. I mean, the cycle lanes aren't great. It's a bit hilly, which kind of puts people off. The weather's a bit shit. Yeah. Like, it's always so far to get anywhere. If I wanted to bike, it would be like 10 hours to get here.
Getting back to the changing the psyche of like how we interact and stuff, is it like a case of, and you were saying government policy. When you first said that, I was like, is that like a 1984 style thing with like megaphones? They're like, get off your phone.
Oh, I'd love that. That'd be great. No, I'm kidding. That's the dystopian future that we're going to live in. I mean, it's hard to say. I think it's more to encourage people more than force people to do anything. Yeah. And that's so hard because you want to hit that fine line between letting people do what they want and being like, okay, in some restrictions.
Make them feel like they're doing what they want.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you think when you wrap up your degree, when will that be?
And it's end of the year.
So end of the year. So you're almost at the finish line, basically.
Oh, it's exciting.
And then do you do honours or do you go straight into a master's?
I mean, that's part of the issue is I haven't really worked that out yet. Could be honours, could be master's, could be out in the workforce and do a part-time, could just be out in the workforce full stop. Who knows? Yeah. That's what I'm looking into. Okay. At this point, it's not decided, and it depends on money and where I'm living and all kinds of things.
Does being a Freemason recipient mean that you might get the odd like phone call from someone sort of keen for you to do something for them in a sense, like a kind of work opportunity in that way? Does it sort of put you out in the public eye, so to speak?
I don't think so. No, they kind of like when I got accepted the sort of certificate, they kind of like it seems like they weren't going to contact us again. They're like, that's it, it's all you're getting. No one's contacted me yet. You know,
we called you.
Yeah, you guys call me. That's something. That's first opportunity. I'll take it. You know, this will go on the CV. It'll be like, did a radio interview. You can listen to it.
Any ultimate hopes or goals if you're to go into the policy side of things for Auckland?
Yeah, what would
What would I do? I'd bloody blow the place up is what I would do. No, I'm
kidding. Volcano's going to do that at some point.
Volcano. What would I do? It's hard to say. I don't know what I would do. Is that an allowable answer?
That's okay. Yeah, that's okay. You could. This is like a dream. This is the one thing
I've
that
no strong
I would...
opinions one way or the other.
Did you get a car park pretty easy when you came?
Oh, and to here, yeah, I bust in. I'm not good for the environment,
got
right?
Got that sus.
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing springs to mind. Light rail.
Love a bit of light rail.
Light rail loop.
Let's put some rail, city rail loop. Chuck it in below the harbour. Man, I'm excited for that in 50 years.
Do you know anything about the impact of using like public transport on people's health and well-being? Does it improve?
Yeah, apparently it does improve sort of physical well-being and mental well-being. I'm not sure how it improves mental well-being, to be honest, but apparently it does.
Wait, so even like for potential catching a cold or something?
Well, that's going to go down, obviously. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Overall it's better for your well-being.
Apparently, yeah.
It's good to know. I caught the bus today.
I
could have walked, though.
Yeah, you could have. I mean, how far did you bust?
That's not that far. That's cold.
I mean, catching the bus is great, but I mean, walking, you know.
All right, Neil. Well, we'll wrap things up there. Hey, thank you very much for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me.
Neil Lindsay.
That's the one.
A recipient of a Freemasons scholarship. Thank you very much for coming in. Thank you to the Freemasons for supporting BFM and these wonderful students of life at the Auckland University.
Oh, thanks very much.
All the best out there.
Cheers.
Makes you think, doesn't it? Johnny and Big Hungry in The Big Far Out, supported by the Freemasons Foundation.